It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm your host, Walker Wildman, your guest host, that is. Walker Wildman sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. Sandy is in some meetings in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the American Family Association and our thousands of supporters across the country. So thanks to Sandy for allowing me to sit in this July 25th edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Once again, my name is Walker Wildman, and I am guest hosting for Sandy Rios this morning. And we got a lot of news to cover. I'm excited to be here. But before we get into the news, let's look into God's Word for a minute. And let's look at Proverbs. This is Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is one of those books of the Bible that you can read a couple verses and get a lot from it. You can get a lot of good biblical principles from just get a glimpsing at 2 or 3, 4 verses, sometimes a little more. But that's unique. That's unique. That's what makes Proverbs and some of the other books of the Bible unique. Because if you get into the New Testament, or the Second Testament, as some say, you need to read more than a couple verses. You need to read chapters, books. You need to, you know, read the full context of what the Apostle Paul and others write in the New Testament in order to get a full and truthful understanding of what New Testament verses and passages mean. But Proverbs, you know, if you're, you know, you don't have much time and you're running late to work or, you know, whatever it is, just look into Proverbs, read a couple verses, and usually you can get some good wisdom, biblical wisdom, from Proverbs. But don't be lazy and always go to Proverbs, because you can get wisdom in 3 minutes. But, you know, nonetheless, it can be useful. But I'm reading from Proverbs 1. This is verse 7. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it goes on in verse 8, and it says, and Proverbs says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And in the last verse, verse 9 says, "They are a garland to grace your head," talking about your mother and father's teachings. "They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And so what we can pull from that is obey your father and mother. Obey your father and mother. And I think we need to focus on obeying our father and mother even when we get out of their care. Even when we, you know, become of age, if you will. We move out of the house, maybe get married, go to college, whatever you do. I still think we need to focus as young adults on obeying our father and mother, because there's still a lot of good wisdom, a lot of good insight from our parents, even when our parents maybe become grandparents and great-grandparents. We still need to heed their counsel. But a good news story, moving on into the news of the day, a good news story. This is clip one. You know, President Trump was at a rally yesterday, I believe, in Missouri. And he's at this it's a veterans rally, essentially. It's a veterans association. I can't think of the name. But President Trump is at this veterans rally, and he has this 94-year-old World War II vet on stage just to say a few words. He's a big Trump supporter. And I want you to listen to this, and then I'll kind of give a little context afterwards. Let's listen.
"Mr. President, I want to ask you something.
I've been told that I could never enter the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be 95 years of age, April 11th of next year. Hopefully, that you will allow me to bring my family into the Oval yes. Office to meet you.
Now, that's one of those points in the Trump presidency where I say, that's my president. That's my president, because President Trump, first off, he doesn't have to give the podium to anyone other than himself. You know, he's at this speaking engagement. It's Rob helped me out, our producer. It's the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, their association. I'm sure they have members all across the country. And so President Trump's speaking to this group. And he has this 94-year-old veteran up on stage, which he doesn't have to do, but he does. He likes giving his supporters and the American people the podium for a few minutes. And so the World War II vet has the guts to ask the president on national television, can I come to the Oval Office? Well, President Trump can't say no. He would get blasted by everyone if he said no, because it is the people's house. So he said, sure, of course. Yeah, you can come to the White House. And so I just think that's so neat, and that's an encouraging story. 94-year-old, about to be 95 in April, World War II vet, is going to visit the Oval Office in the coming months. And President Trump said, sure, come on. It is the people's house. So good news story there. Changing subjects here. That was a good news story. This one's a laughing story. But many of you know Senator Elizabeth Warren. Well, Senator Elizabeth Warren was on CNBC at this, not a town hall, but kind of at a diner, one of those informal interviews at a diner, you know, where they got the food out and people in the background eating, this type thing. And I just think this is a side note. I'm going to chase rabbits for a minute. But Senator Warren is sitting down with the CNBC host doing an interview for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Talking about the economy, etc. And they got this food in front of them and the iced tea, and the whole time they never drink it or eat it. And I'm just thinking, that's just so odd. I can't sit in front of food, especially if it looks that good, for 20 minutes and not take a bite or take a sip of the iced tea. But that's a side note. Nonetheless, they went the whole time without eating or drinking the food that was in front of them. So I'm wondering, why is it there other than for looks? But anyways, the topic at hand and what I want to analyze here is the host, the CNBC host, is ask Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren, about tax cuts, about what she would do if she were president, you know, what kind of policies would you put forth, what kind of tax rate, etc. So let's listen to this. This is clip two.
It's not about the number. Here's how I look at budgets. And taxes are at the heart of this. A lot of people think they're just numbers. They're not. They are the expression of our values. The values of the Republican Party that passed those tax cuts are to give $1.5 trillion away to the richest Americans and the biggest corporations and let everybody else pick up the crumbs. And I don't think that's the right way to think about it.
What's too high for the top personal rate?
It's not about a number. That's what negotiations are all about.
It's 50% obviously too high?
Look, there was a time in a very prosperous America, an America that was growing a middle class, an America in which working families were doing better generation after generation after generation, where the top marginal rate was well above 50%.
It's 90%.
That's exactly right. But for me, the heart of the question is that you've got to ask, what constitutes a fair share in this economy?
Right.
And look, it depends in part on what the economy is. It also
depends... But it doesn't strike you as obviously, no, 90%, that's ridiculous, can't be that.
No, look, 90%, yes, 90% sounds pretty shockingly high.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is this is not about negotiating over specific numbers.
All right, there you have it. I know that was a lengthy clip, but you had to get the full context, and that is the full context of their exchange on the tax rate, the economy, and what she thinks needs to change. And the first thing I want to note there Is the whole campaign strategy by the Democrats to repeal tax cuts and call them crumbs is a loser for everybody? Because even Democrats got a pay raise if they have a job a few months ago in February. The federal income tax went down, which means the federal government took less from our paychecks each month, which means that you got a pay raise, essentially, because you got to keep more of your own money. So that being said, calling it crumbs is insulting to me and every other American. Because if you're in D.C. and you're a senator, and I'll get into the corruption going on in Washington with our senators and the kind of money they're getting in a little bit in the next segment. But $2,000 may be crumbs to you, but to me, that's not crumbs. That's a new set of tires for both my vehicle and my wife's. And so these politicians, these Democrats calling the tax cuts crumbs is insulting. Because honestly, for the American people to get any of their money back from the government is a good thing. And that's what happened in February. Many Americans got hundreds of dollars, if not some people got over $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. I'm talking about your middle class folks. But nonetheless, Senator Warren there, the other thing I want to talk about there is, if you notice, she said the host was trying to get at, so what rate would you propose? You know, what tax rate would you propose? And she goes, well, it's not about the numbers. But it is about the numbers, Senator Warren. We're talking about taxes. And if you don't talk about numbers, then it's all relevant. It's all relevant. So what she means there is, and I'll interpret this for her, she means that I don't really have a plan. You know, I don't really know what I want to do or what we should do, but I just know President Trump's not doing it right. And so that's what that was. Whenever the Democrats go, well, you know, we just don't need to get into the specifics. I'm just trying to make a point. No, let's get into the specifics, because that's where the American people see who they want to vote for, who they want to vote for. And that's why the Democrats can't seem to get themselves together. They're too busy criticizing President Trump for the good that he's doing, and they have no solution to back up their criticism. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, criticism is okay, but if you don't have a solution, then it's useless. It's a waste of time. But Senator Elizabeth Warren there wants to repeal tax cuts. She calls it crumbs. And the host says, well, what do you want to do to fix it? And she says, well, you know, let's don't talk about the numbers. Let's move on to something else. So Democrats have no party platform, no objective. They just know that President Trump is not doing a good job, and I object to that. One other interesting story that just came out this morning or yesterday afternoon, this is going to make your blood pressure rise, but at the same time, we can maybe get a little cynical and maybe get a chuckle out of this. But Harvard, the headline is, Harvard sorority caves to school's imposed penalties, and it will become all-inclusive, or an all-gender club. That's the headline. So a Harvard sorority, which is a female club, is essentially becoming an all-gender club. So boys, men, everybody's welcome to the sorority, which is the definition of a female's club. That's the definition, I would say, of insanity. Can our females, can our daughters, can our wives, can they not have their own club without the men intervening and the political correctness intervening? I would urge us to allow our daughters, the women of our country, to have their own space, have their own sorority. Nonetheless, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. We'll be back after the break. More news coming.
Netflix continues to ignore the outcry about 13 Reasons Why. The American Family Association, along with Parents Television Council and several other pro-family groups, have reached out to the streaming service, urging the cancellation of their program. Netflix has not even responded to our letter. Instead, they released an even more vile Season 2 and are producing Season 3. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings says their program is engaging and that it fosters discussion of taboo topics like suicide and sexual assault. But at what cost? 14-year-old Anna Bright and several other teens have committed suicide after watching the show. Hastings calls our objections propaganda. Does he feel the profitability of his company is worth more than the lives damaged or lost because of his show? Please sign our petition to Netflix, learn more, and share our action alert when you visit AFA.net. And pray Reed Hastings will recognize the dangers of 13 Reasons Why.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. I was speaking in Sydney, Australia. I had checked into my hotel and decided to take a walk. Sydney is a big city, and I quickly became lost. The people at the hotel had told me to be very careful and only go to certain sections of the city, but I ignored all of that. I took no map and received no further directions and decided I could figure out this big city on my own. Wow, was I wrong. I got lost within 20 minutes. It took me nearly 3 hours to find my way back to the hotel. I went through some very questionable sections and wondered if I would get out alive. I learned a big lesson. You need direction. You need guidance. And you get that guidance from the Word of God. You get that guidance from the Bible. Don't just read your Bible, study your Bible. It is your direction for everything in life. Learn more at choosegreatness.com, choosegreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The city once known as America's foreclosure capital is about to experiment with socialism. Stockton, California is going to provide a universal basic income, offering 100 residents $500 a month cold hard cash without any conditions. The 18-month experiment could lead to a universal basic income for all 300,000 citizens. City leaders, all Democrats, say they want to ensure no one lives in poverty. For now, Stockton's far-fetched scheme is going to be bankrolled by wealthy Silicon Valley tech giants. But it's unclear who would foot the bill if the city decides to roll out the plan for every man, woman, and child who lives in Stockton. And by the way, San Francisco, they're considering a similar plan. What was it Margaret Thatcher used to say? The trouble with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. I am guest hosting for Sandy. My name is Walker Wildman. My title is Assistant to the President here at the American Family Association. Sometimes you will hear me on the radio show Today's Issues, also on the American Family Radio Network. Good to be with you. Last segment, we ended with the sorority at Harvard becoming all gender inclusive, meaning men can come in the sorority with our daughters while they're at college. That's an awful idea. An awful idea, and I'll leave it at that. Moving on. There's been this talk, and I know Sandy spoke about it yesterday in length, about the security clearances of President Obama officials, of Obama officials who are now obviously not in the executive branch anymore, many of them. Well, there's this debate going on about whether President Trump should pull security clearances for some of these folks who served under President Obama. Many of them have questionable records when it comes to integrity and upholding the Constitution and upholding truth. So there's some very valid concerns here. Senator Rand Paul is the one who began this discussion when he said that he would be going to the White House to talk to President Trump about this a couple of days ago, and President Trump seemed to like Rand Paul's idea that we need to pull the security clearances of some of these Obama officials who are partisan political hacks, and they make money on their security clearance. They go on television across the country and spew hate at our government and our president, and they use their security clearance and the knowledge that they and the access of information that they have to make themselves supposedly credible. But one person that really disappointed me within the last day or two is Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan. The media asked him, you know, what do you think about this? Do you think President Trump should pull the security clearance of some of these Obama officials? And I want to go to clip three here. Let's listen to Paul Ryan's snarky response to the reporter's question.
I think he's trolling people, honestly. This is something that's in the purview of the executive branch. I think some of these people have already lost their clearances. Some people keep their clearances. That's something that the executive branch deals with. It's not really in our purview.
All right, Paul, there you go. Paul Ryan, that his if he would have just left out the word trolling, then it was a good answer. Because he said, look, this is up to the president. This is the president's prerogative. This is in his purview. So I'm just not going to comment on it. But you did comment on it. You led off with this snarky response saying, well, I just think President Trump's trolling. What do you mean by that, Paul Ryan? Trolling like people do on social media, just following people around, pestering them? No, this is a legitimate question. This is a legitimate question. So Paul Ryan is so out of touch with the American people, and he's so quick to side with the left and the Democrats and the media that he goes after President Trump there and goes, well, he's just trolling. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. We have people with top security clearance in our government who are not government employees anymore, who are still getting briefed by CIA, NSA, FBI, Department of Justice officials, and the way they're able to be briefed and get information that they're not supposed to have is because they have a top security clearance. They have a top security clearance. And to delve farther into this and to provide some evidence behind my statement, we're going to move on to clip four here. All right, this is Senator Rand Paul. And Senator Rand Paul is answering the question, why should President Trump pull the security clearance from some of these Obama officials? Let's listen.
I think there's a great danger to having talking heads on TV who are ex-CIA agents and still have classified clearance. There's a real danger that they might inadvertently reveal classified information. And, you know, John Brennan's got a history of this. Back in 2012, when we were discussing, you know, we discovered the underwear bomber, John Brennan at that time briefed ex-CIA agents who were retired but still had top secret clearance. He briefed them and said, oh, don't worry, the U.S. has someone inside. We have inside control. Well, then one of these ex-CIA agents went on television and said, oh, yeah, we have a double agent and nobody needs to worry. And it's like, whoops, the double agent was still there.
Wow. Wow, that's shocking. But before I get onto that, let me do something that I forgot to do at the beginning of the segment, and that is give the phone number. I'm going to take calls next segment. Next segment, I'm going to take your calls. Here's the number to call, 888-589-8840. If you want to call into the show, let's keep it to some of the subjects discussed on the show today. We had the World War II veteran able to enter the Oval Office the first time in his life. Senator Elizabeth Warren doesn't deny that a 50% tax rate is a possibility. And now we're talking about the security clearance of President Obama's officials. We'll talk about that on the show if you'll call in, 888-589-8840. But Senator Rand Paul's clip there, if you caught that, he basically just said that John Brennan was leaking or discussing top secret classified information with some of his retired buddies back in 2012. And then one of his buddies went on cable television and said, "Yeah, we've got a double agent. We got an inside source. We got this all taken care of." Well, no, you don't, because you just outed the double agent. And so that's an example of you have a current government employee by the name of John Brennan. I'm talking back in 2012, current at the time. And then he's talking to his buddies around the coffee table, and they're all retired CIA agents, but they still have top security clearance. So he's just talking about all this top secret information to them, and then they're going out on cable television and talking about it. And so that's the reason we don't need people like John Brennan to have top secret security clearance. Because what happens is, if you remove that security clearance, then there is actually accountability. The first level of accountability is any government employee who shares classified information with someone who doesn't have a top secret security clearance, that's not only against internal regulations, but that's against the law. And so that's the first level of accountability. The second level of accountability is it removes John Brennan's credibility. It removes his credibility because he has been stripped of his top secret security clearance. I'm talking in future tense if this ever happens. And that is something that does not look good on your resume. Let me just say that. And two things to note here about the folks that we're discussing pulling their security clearances. The first one is Susan Rice. Susan Rice. Well, what did Susan Rice do? Well, Susan Rice went on cable television and lied to the American people about the reason for the Benghazi terrorist attack in Libya. Well, Walker, how do you know she lied? I mean, couldn't she have just been misunderstood and blah, 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 blah? No, she flat out lied. And the reason I know she lied is because documents show that her administration, her boss, Barack Obama, President Obama, knew that it was not because of the video that the Benghazi terrorist attack happened. But yet, she went out knowing this and said, "Oh, it's the video, you know, we're going to get this taken care of, we're sorry, we're going to arrest this guy." No, it wasn't the video. This terrorist attack had been in the works for days, and you knew nothing about it. Matter of fact, it was probably in the works for months because there were security questions going on in Benghazi for years, and Hillary Clinton's State Department ignored the security request. So Susan Rice, first one who still has his top secret security clearance, that should be stripped immediately. The second person is a fellow by the name of James Clapper. Well, who's James Clapper? Well, James Clapper is a lot of things, or has done a lot of things in his career. But the one thing he did that is very shameful is he went before Congress years ago, within the last 5 years, he went before Congress to answer questions about the spying on American citizens, about the NSA spying on American citizens. And senators and congressmen asked him directly, is the NSA, the National Security Agency, are they collecting masses of Americans' information? Are bulk Americans' information in bulk, if you will? Well, he said, no, you know, we're not doing that. I promise we're not doing that, all while he's under oath. Well, then he comes out, you know, later and says, well, okay, we actually are. We actually are pulling in all of Americans' data into this central database. And so he lied under oath. Well, you know what happens to people who lie under oath? They go to jail, just like Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort, and others. And I would argue that Michael Flynn, the retired general in the military, I would argue that he didn't lie under oath to the FBI agents, but they say he did. So, people who lie under oath, they're supposed to go to jail, or at least face some kind of punishment, maybe contempt of Congress or something. But it seems like these powerful people in Washington can lie to our face and get away with it. And that's disappointing. Moving on to another subject, the last subject we'll talk about before we take calls in the next segment, the phone number to call in, 888-589-8840. Let's keep it to the topics I've discussed on the show today. But the last topic I want to talk about is Donald Trump's, this is a headline out of the Wall Street Journal, Donald Trump's legal team submits counteroffer for possible interview in Mueller probe. And when you read the headline, you may say, well, what's the big news there? Well, the news there and what I want to talk about is the idea of giving Robert Mueller an interview, allowing the president to sit down with this fella, is an extremely bad idea. It's an extremely bad idea. We've seen, we know how partisan and how faulty and corrupt this investigation is into President Trump and the whole Russia thing. We know how corrupt this is. The American people do. We've seen the documents. We've seen the headlines. We've read the stories. And the idea that President Trump's legal team is somehow trying to work out a deal to sit down with Mueller is a horrible idea. If he gave me $1 million, I would not sit down with Robert Mueller. Because these folks are out to get President Trump. From the onset of this investigation, it's been known that they're out to get President Trump. And so the idea, and when I say out to get him, they're out to get him unfairly and unjustly. And so the idea that you can sit down with these questionable people with, I would argue, low integrity, and they're all registered Democrats, giving money to the Democrats, all these prosecutors and attorneys, the idea that you can sit down with them, talk to them frankly, and then get out without going to jail, you're naive if you think you can do that. So I would urge President Trump's legal team to put the kibosh on the idea that you can sit down with Robert Mueller and his partisan attorneys. The last thing I want to talk about before we wrap this segment up, and we go to calls in the next segment, is this headline out of KansasCity.com. I think it's the Kansas City Star. But news has broke that Senator Claire McCaskill out of Missouri, her husband has been awarded more than $131 million in federal subsidies since the Missouri Democrat took office in 2007. Let me correct that there so I don't get sued. The businesses tied to U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill's husband, so the businesses that he's associated with, have been awarded more than $131 million in federal subsidies since the Missouri Democrat took office in 2007, an analysis by the Kansas City Star found. And so moving on here, more information on this. In 2006, the year before Senator McCaskill of Missouri entered the Senate, her husband's personal income from those investments was between $1,600 and $16,000, according to the senator's financial disclosure forms. Well, fast forward 11 years. In 2017, 5 years into McCaskill's second term, Shepard, her husband's name, personally earned between $365,000 and $1.1 million from investments in the same projects as before. And you can look at that, and I've looked at it, and you may not confine technically illegal activity, at least with the information we have, but at a minimum, this is unethical. And it should raise the question as to how, somehow, these government officials, these senators, these congressmen enter office and their middle-class families, and they leave office and they're millionaires. And it's not because they got a pay raise, it's because they're doing backroom deals with special interest groups. That's what's going on. And so we got a lot of problems in Washington, one of them being congressmen, senators making way too much money behind closed doors. We'll be back in a few minutes. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. act like men. Be strong. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Counseling and Mental Health Center at the University of Texas at Austin has decided that masculinity must be treated as if it were a mental health crisis. Their program is predicated on a critique of so-called restrictive masculinity. Men, the program argues, suffer when they are told to act like a man, or when they are encouraged to fulfill traditional gender roles, such as being successful or being the breadwinner. They go so far to say that this is dangerous for men. Masculinity poses a mental health crisis, but gender dysphoria is normal? Okay, then.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening in our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program, inviting you to join us as we study the scriptures verse by verse each day, Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. We will study the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk, Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A potentially game-changing three-day meeting kicked off yesterday at the State Department. Hosted by Secretary Mike Pompeo, this ministerial involves diplomats from some 80 nations deemed to be like-minded with us on the fundamental right to religious liberty. I was honored to attend day one as a representative of the Save the Persecuted Christians Coalition, and to share with other participants on the meeting's margins the coalition's powerful new exhibit. It documents the magnitude of the horror being inflicted upon more than 215 million people around the world just because they are followers of Jesus Christ. The coalition seeks to hold accountable those responsible for such crimes against humanity. Thank God, the Trump administration seems determined to use this meeting to enlist its diplomatic guests in doing precisely that. Learn more, including how you can help, at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, last segment of this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good to be with you. Once again, I am guest hosting for Sandy Rios, and my name is Walker Wildman. Walker Wildman, I host a show each weekend called Exposing Washington, each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio. You can tune in this Saturday, or you can catch my podcast at AFR.net. You can listen to the show at AFR.net at your own convenience. The phone number to call in, 888-589-8840. Let's keep it to the topics discussed on the show today. We got the security clearance question, which some people agree on, some people don't. That's all right. And then we have the Senator Claire McCaskill's husband, his business, raking in $130 million from federal subsidies. after she takes office, and tell me that's not suspicious. A couple other topics we discussed today. Let's go to the phones. Rick from Oklahoma. Rick, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes, thank you, sir, for taking my call.
What's on your mind?
I'd like to comment on the security clearance issue, and my opinion is it's about time. President Trump has took all this abuse from these people, and to me, they're the ones that's doing the treasonous acts towards this country by not supporting our duly elected president. May not agree with everything he says, but that's the way our country works. And they need to step up to the plate and protect our president's integrity and the office that it represents. But anyway, on the other issues, I thank you guys for pointing out all the corruption that's going on in government. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't pay any attention. But my last comment would be on this is not a compromising situation that we're in this country. This is they're going to win or we're going to win. There is no middle ground, and they won't compromise unless we compromise with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest everyone that's registered or go out and register to vote. We have got to vote in this election and keep these people from taking power again. They can't be allowed to win one more election.
I completely agree, Rick. I appreciate the call. Good comments there. And the last comment, you're right on point, talking about compromising. Look, here's the deal. Every time conservatives and Republicans say, all right, you know, we'll meet you in the middle, the Democrats and the left, they never come to the middle. We always end up going to their side. Look, we're talking about the past few years, we've been talking about giving amnesty to people who have broken our laws. And even conservatives have said, okay, you know, we can give, you know, some form of citizenship to illegal immigrants. Even I'm guilty of kind of thinking that, okay, you know, we can compromise, let's meet in the middle. But give us our border wall. And they never talk about giving us our border wall. So you're right, Rick. There's no such thing as compromise anymore. Either you're all in or you're not. And that's really an unfortunate place to be. But that's how polarizing our politics have become. We're going to go to Ohio and talk to Teresa. Teresa, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's on your mind, Teresa?
I first want to say thank you guys so very much for this channel. I listen to it almost every day. I own a taxi company and I drive most of the day. And by accident, I hit your station one day about 2 years ago, and I praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
I also want to say that I don't believe they should be able to keep their security clearance either, because, I mean, think about it. Susan Rice is a part of Netflix now. Brenner has done all he can do to keep president from being president. Same with Clapper. And wasn't Susan Rice that even came out and lied about Benghazi?
That's correct.
We don't want them to know any more of our secrets, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And the security, like for the FBI, that's all going against our president, trying to keep him right now. Even Rosenstein, if he ever is booted out, his wife actually defended Barack Obama like 45 times. That was their attorney. Mm-hmm. She also defended Clinton. She had something to do with Mueller. She also did, I think, Comey. So these people should not be able to keep their clearance, because that's going to hurt our country and our president that we're trying to keep in office and everybody's going against us.
Yeah, I completely agree, Teresa. Great comments there. Good stuff out of Ohio. We're going to go down to Louisiana and talk to David. David, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning. Yes, excellent show, man. My comment is basically on John Brennan. He has accused President Trump of treason. You know, this is the same man who supported this Iran deal. Obama gave this Iran $150 billion. And if you've caught the news, the gentleman who owns Amazon is now the richest man in the world with that equal amount of $150 billion. And the world's theory is money is power. Do you know how much power Obama has given Iran?
Right.
And $1.7 billion was American dollars,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was not approved through the channels of Senate, as it's supposed to be. You know, so this guy got away, has gotten away with so many crimes simply because our Republican representatives do not, has never challenged.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, the news media, you know, according to the news media, Obama had a scandal-free administration. If you choose not to cover, you know, his wrongdoings, of course he's done nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're exactly right, David, and I appreciate the call. And to your point, the scandals and the nefarious activities, and I would say illegal activities that went on under the Obama administration are too many to mention. We have Benghazi lying on national television, failing to provide proper security despite dozens of requests by the ambassador there. You have the IRS commissioner discriminating against conservative groups solely because they're conservative. And so you have the Obamacare deal that I think is illegal, where you're taxing people, you're forcing people to pay fines because they don't want government-endorsed health care. You know, that shouldn't even be allowed, but it was allowed. And so you have the list goes on and on about things. You have the Hillary Clinton email server in her bathroom, over 130 top-secret classified documents hosted on that server. And guess what? Foreign actors had access to that server. It's a fact that foreign actors had access to that server. Well, isn't Hillary Clinton in jail for that crime? No, she's not. She walked away scot-free, I believe they say. Let's go to Texas and talk to Tim. Tim, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hello?
Hey, Tim, you're on Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Great morning, sir. Sorry, I just would like to piggyback on the rest of the callers, which is great. I was in the service for 2.5 decades, and when I enlisted, I got a clearance, and then I worked in the IC, the intelligence community, and without a doubt, and I'd seen it personally, people had their clearances removed, and then, with continuing upon the situation, they actually went to jail. I know that's hard to believe, mm-hmm. And the thing that I would piggyback on your previous callers, sir, is I think most of us that are listening to your show and have that knowledge, what frustrates me and us, all of us combined, is that there's nothing happening. Because
right.
The truth is that with that list you just went through, the rule of law said they should have been penalized. They should have been, there's a crime committed and nothing's happening. So when you talk about the other guy in Kansas getting $130 million under the table,
yeah.
Why isn't he being charged? Why isn't Hillary Clinton? I get tired of people telling me, well, Hillary never got charged. Well, that's not that she didn't commit a crime.
Right.
It means she worked the system and should have been charged, but because of power, as the gentleman earlier said, it's all about money and that power, and that is how things are being influenced in our nation right now when I talk to people. But they don't realize that power truly is influencing the media, our national education, which I think is one of the reasons where we're at today, because they're, in my opinion, brainwashing the youth.
Yeah.
And therefore, like Stalin said, give me a child for 6-8 years and I'll hold them for life. That's the real core issue is, why aren't we charging these people and saying, listen, it's not about who you are, it's about the law, and the law is you broke the law.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tim, and we're all frustrated. You know, anybody in America who gets a speeding ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit is frustrated because Hillary Clinton gets to commit felonies, and then she's out, you know, she's probably on some kind of government pension plan, you know? And so we got to watch our back, watch for the cops around the corner, you know, because we're running late to work and we're going 5 miles over the speed limit and we get a fat $500 ticket. But Hillary Clinton gets to do felonies, and she has no punishment. And so it's really frustrating, and I think that we're becoming more and more frustrated, because here's the thing. We don't have a Hillary Clinton presidency. We have a Donald Trump presidency. And so we're all thinking to ourselves, all right, it's about time for justice to be carried out fully and fairly across the board. Republicans, Democrats, independents, I don't care who you are. You break the law, you got to face the punishment. That's the only way that we can keep our law and order in America, is that anyone who breaks the laws they face some type of punishment. And then you apply that across the board. It's called law and order. It's called the U.S. Constitution. And then we can start get our country back. But until our Department of Justice, under Jeff Sessions, I might say, until they start charging people for the crimes they commit, then our country's not really that better off, even under a Trump administration. Maria from Texas. Maria, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to talk to you about the security clearance, and I think they need to be taken away. When I was in the military, I had a top secret clearance, and when I left the military, I no longer have a top secret clearance. So it should be taken away from these people, too, because they no longer have a need to know. That was the key phrase with this top secret clearance, is the need to know. Mm-hmm. And these people no longer have a need to know any of this information that's going around, this top secret stuff. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
Thank you.
You're exactly right, Maria. And it's good to have folks who have actually been there, done that in the military. And the other thing I'll mention here is it's not as if John Brennan is somehow disengaged from our government and has no longer has access to this information. If you think that's the case, you are woefully naive. John Brennan used to head up the CIA. You betcha that he knows dozens, if not more, of agents within the CIA that he's formed bonds with over the years. And you can't tell me that those folks aren't talking to John Brennan. And so John Brennan, despite the fact that he's, you know, no longer the CIA director, he's out of government service, he still has people in there, it's called the deep state, that are still probably spreading information to him, a lot of information that he has no business knowing. So that's another reason, pull the top security clearance. Last call we'll take today is Keith in Arkansas. Keith, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes, Walker, I think I've had a stroke, so I'm going to make a comment and hang up, and the comment is concerning the security clearance and President Obama and Hillary Clinton and the people that are being paid more than they should. I think that they should be hanged. Thank you.
All right. Keith in Arkansas said he might have had a stroke. I don't know whether he was talking metaphorically there because of all the news or seriously, but if he's serious, then he needs to call 911 immediately. The one thing I'll just say on that, and I'll move on, is I don't know if this arises to treason necessarily. Look, I don't like what the Democrats are doing either. I don't like what the left is doing either, undermining our president. I'm not sure it all arises to treason, which means they, you know, would face the death penalty, as Keith mentioned. I'm not so sure we're there yet. Maybe that's the case in some instances that I don't know about. But nonetheless, we still need to hold these folks accountable through just means. They need to be held accountable through law and order, whatever that means. Well, thanks for being here for Sandy Rios in the Morning. I've been guest hosting. My name is Walker Wildman. Sandy will be back tomorrow, and tune in. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.